And we are live for the 152nd episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I am your host, Matt Lozalidian. Tonight, it's Alex, it's G and I. How are we doing, guys?
We're doing. Trade deadline's coming up. We're all
sure
confused.
Are playing baseball these days.
We can confirm that there has been baseball played in New York.
There's been baseball being played in New York. You got that right, guys. It's probably the most accurate thing that's ever been said on this podcast. Well, since we last recorded, the Yankees did indeed sweep the Kansas City Royals, something that they were supposed to do, right? So good on them. Then they do split with the Mets. So 4-1 since the last episode, right? Keeping them most, like, that probably pushes them to be buyers, knowing the Yankees, right? I think we said that, you know, if they went out and lost the game or two to the Royals, and then maybe got, you know, two games swept against the Mets, then, yeah, this is a much different episode. They're probably so is. But, you know, just going by the tea leaves, just seeing the, you know, a lot of articles coming out being on the off day, they're going to be buyers at the deadline. I think we already kind of knew that, and it would take them being, you know, nearly 10 games out of a playoff spot to prevent that. So they're going to be buyers. We're probably going to be seeing some trades the next few days. Nothing too significant, right? Otani obviously getting taken off the market by the Angels. I think all of us knew he were getting moved at the deadline anyways. So that's kind of the big name there. Apparently teams weren't doing anything knowing he was on the market, right? Because they didn't want to make a trade and then have Otani still out there, which is understandable. So I think we'll start seeing things pick up now. But yeah,
and
guys,
there was an article. Brendan Cuddy wrote an article today saying that the Yankees are leaning towards buying at the deadline, which is annoying because in the aftermath of the Royals series, when we're like, oh, they swept the garbage-ass Royals, and we looked at their record of against, like, the bad teams like the Royals and the Rays, etc., and we're like, oh, it's good, and it's 500 against everyone else.
Gee, did you just say the bad teams like the Royals and the Rays?
Did I say Rays? I meant to say A's. You know what I meant to say.
I was about to say, at first I heard A's, but then I think once Alex stopped, I'm like, wait, he did say Rays. But yes, the Royals and the A's. The Yankees, you know, remember in years past, that was kind of a problem. They would always play down to the level of competition, right? I remember the one year they literally were in a wild card spot because they did so bad against the Baltimore Orioles while everybody else just beat up on them, right? So it is important to beat bad teams, don't get me wrong. But yes, G, you're right. This team, if you take away, I mean, the Royals and A's, they're not only the two worst teams in baseball. I mean, both those teams are having historically bad seasons. Like, both those teams are going to lose 110-plus games. So, I mean, those are two teams that, like I said, you should literally beat them, you know, 90-95% of the time you play them. So, you know, they're doing what they need to do there. But, yeah, you look at the rest of the league, I mean, they've really struggled against good teams. And obviously, you know, they did beat Texas about a month or so ago, 2 or 3. They're a very good team. You know, they split with Toronto. But like I said, for the most part, they've struggled with the good teams. And, you know, the theme of this episode, what we're going to be talking about for the most part, is this next 10-game stretch, right? We've alluded to it a few times over the past few weeks, right? We all had it circled on the calendar. And, yeah, it's here, right? 3 in Baltimore against the Orioles, who, my God, now are a game and a half up in the AL East. I mean, the Rays, the Rays have actually been a worse team than the Yankees this past month, but obviously they, you know, have built up such a lead in the division that they're still well in a playoff spot. But yeah, they lost their AL East lead to Baltimore, and that's who we're playing the next 3 games in Baltimore. Then we're at home to Tampa for 3 games, and then it's a 4-game series against the Astros at Yankee Stadium. So yeah, like I said, this 10-game stretch is going to probably make or break the season, right? Like, this is the stretch of the season. This is like we're going to all give our predictions for what we think the Yankees' record will be in this 10-game stretch. But, yeah, it goes without saying that this stretch will make or break the season. And it kind of sucks that the stretch happens right in the middle of the trade deadline.
I was
right?
just going to say that. Like, it really,
it's like
really
you wish
sucks.
This would happen before so you would know where you stand. But, of course, this stretch is going to end about, you know, a week after the trade deadline and starts 3 or 4 days before it.
It's not even like that they finish 2 series and then they start with the Astros. They play 3 against the Orioles and then 2 against the Rays. So they're not even going to be done with the Rays series by the time the trade deadline ends. So they pretty much have to look at how the team plays against the Orioles and make their decision then. And I don't know if I have the confidence that this series against the Orioles is going to sway the front office in any direction. Like, I'm convinced that they're going to kind of stand pat and maybe make a few smaller moves, like, that they're hoping to get upside on. It's going to be another one of, like, the Clay Holmes moves where they go out and get a reliever with a 5.3 ERA and hope to turn him into something. Or they go out and try and get another guy who's going to end up being Gio Urshela. I don't think they're going to go out and make a big move because they know that I want to think that they know that this year is not going to end in a good way. This year, there's a solid chance they're not even going to make the playoffs. So there's no point in ruining the future to attempt to make the postseason because...
You mean like the Angels are doing?
See, the problem is, though, the Angels have a lot more to lose than the Yankees do. So the Angels, I have no problem with them going all out because if they didn't and they just kind of sat back and hoped Ohtani would carry them to the playoffs and then they didn't make it, Ohtani's gone. Where now, if they are going all out and they're showing him, hey, we're actually trying, he might stay. But, like, yeah. You look at the Yankees, it's like, what's going to be different next year? IKF's not going to be here. You know, it's like the Yankees don't have any major players that are going to be free agents after this year. So they're going to bring back basically the same exact team.
I mean, if you could find a way, like if they were going to, some folks were saying that like, oh, it's the off day before, you know, like this would be a good day to make a trade. Well, it's the end. It's the nighttime of the off day. Nothing's happened. So I'd be a little surprised if at this point, but I don't think, you know, unless in the next however many days, there's like a really incredible, like superstar level player that becomes available for whatever reason, like then you'd move heaven and earth. But otherwise, like if you can get rid of some of these deadweight kind of players somehow, then I would do that. And otherwise I would just look for like, you know, like you said, the Brian Cashman special, like some,
yeah,
you know, someone somewhere with bad stats but has good tools and maybe you can turn them around, that kind of a thing. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no point in being like, oh, we can just go get whoever, left fielder and whoever else, and then we'll just make a run at it. Like, if, by their own mission statement, if it's not a championship, it's a failure. Well, this one's going to be a failure. It's pretty clear. They're in fifth place.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not going to do that.
I think their strategy, and obviously they would never come out and admit this, but I think their whole philosophy and strategy this trade deadline is going to be damage control, right? They're going to try to make a few moves that slightly improve the team, that makes them just good enough that maybe they could squeak in the playoffs. And yeah, like that's the goal. They're not, like I said, they're not going to admit that, right? If you ask Boone or Cashman or Howe, they're all going to say, well, we still have a championship level roster. We just need to unlock a few guys, right? Of course, we know that's what they're going to say. But yeah, they're not going to look. And let's be real. Why would you go out and make any big moves, right? Like, in order to make a big trade, you got to give something up. And in order, like, even, you know, guys who are top level, you know, players who have team control, you can't just trade prospects for them. You're going to have to also give up, like, a good, solid MLB-ready player or two, right? A current MLB player.
They're not going to be able to go out and get Juan Soto without giving up someone right. like Clark Schmidt.
And exactly. just be good enough to get some of that sweet, sweet playoff revenue for a couple of,
exactly.
couple of days.
Right.
And right. Gee, you make a good point because like as much as we want them to sell and we want them to just kind of hit the reset button, they're not going to because they know that if they go and they sell off a bunch of guys, it's gonna impact the revenue. Because that's what happened in 2016. And
they're still selling out.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a different feel. And this team is so similar to the 2016 team, but it's also different because you look at this team and it's just a bunch of aging guys on expensive deals that aren't working out. And that year, the Yankees basically, they looked at their team and they said, okay, who are the guys we want to keep? Who are the for the future? And who are the guys that we can get rid of? They saw Chapman. They saw Andrew Miller. They traded them. They traded Beltran. They traded Ivan Nova. You know, the guys that were on short-term contracts that weren't going to help them in 2017 and beyond. They kept Betances because he still had years of control. This year, it's like they have a decent amount of impending free agents, but no guys that are going to bring back a lot of value. And the only, because you have Wandy Peralta, you have IKF, you have Bader, and the
Clay Holmes is probably like the most valuable piece you have, obviously. Yeah. Judge, you know,
you're, like that's yeah. probably the like you have the most for. Someone Glaber, I do think would have trade value, but the Yankees have such a love affair with Glaber that I don't think they'll trade him. The only other person I think that they could trade and actually get a decent amount back for him is Herman. Because as much as infuriating as he is, he still has a year of control, and he's never going to be the star starting pitcher that, you know, threw a perfect game. And, you know, we see flashes where he'll go seven innings with, you know, two hits allowed, no walks, 10 strikeouts, something like that. But he's a guy you can throw out there and at least for the last 2 years or so depend on for okay starts. Like, more often than not, he's going to give you five innings. It'll be hell on earth watching him.
He's shown enough flashes that he has value. You
know? Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
He has had good stuff.
He can eat innings, and that's valuable to teams who need stability in their rotations. Like the Yankees right now, as much as we say that, you know, they might need another starting pitcher, the rotation's not the problem. It's the offense. Like if they went out and got another three more starting pitchers for some reason, that's not going to change the direction this team's going. If they went out and got three hitters, position players, that could do something.
Nestor Cortez is about to come back, just for the record. So that could also we already joked about it in the chat. We're gonna hear about how getting someone back who's injured is like getting back or getting a player in a trade.
You know they're gonna say that with Judge. And that's what really pisses me off, is that I don't think they're going to go out and get like a guy who could even remotely impact the offense, because they're going to claim that Judge is back, which it's so annoying because it sets such a double standard, because the last 2 months they've been so steadfast in saying, yeah, no, it's not Judge. We are not struggling because Judge is no longer in the lineup. But then they're going to come out and basically blame Judge's injury for the reason that this team sucked the last 2 months. If they don't make the playoffs, you're going to see post-game conferences from Hal basically saying, yeah, you know, if we had been healthy, if Judge hadn't missed half the year, we would have been a lot better. And it's like, you cannot have both. You cannot say that it's not Judge's fault and then later on say that, yeah, if he hadn't been injured, we would have done better. And I just know that's going to happen. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, we have Judge back, and he's fine, even though he's not fine. He has a torn ligament in his toe that nobody knows if it's healed yet, because nobody seems to know anything about this injury.
Yeah, I was about to say.
No, they know. They just lie to us.
Yeah.
They just lie. Like, and I don't know if you know, Jose Trevino was hurt by the time the last podcast. Like,
he wasn't, no.
Like, and, you know, he hasn't been playing well. Like, hasn't been hitting well, Jose Trevino. And, like, a few days, we all pointed this out, a few days before, you know, he was sitting or something. Yeah, it's like, oh, he's fine. You know, he's just not, you know, he's in a slump or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then like 3 days later, it's like, oh, by the way, he's out for the year. He has a torn ligament in his wrist, and he's literally just been playing until he literally can't endure the pain any longer. Like,
to go along with that, yeah, it's like,
Can we talk about Boone? Saying when he was, because obviously he has his weekly interview on John Boy. He has his weekly interview on John Boy, and he basically, when they talk, John Boy's like, man, like, that Trevino injury, that's kind of frustrating, right? Knowing, like, you guys knew he was hurt since spring training, and you rolled him out there all year. And Boone goes, well, that's Jose Trevino. And I'm like, is Jose Trevino like fucking Johnny Bench now? Like, what are we talking
about? He was talking about OPS? Trevino, like, and he said he's one of the best catchers in the league. Like, okay, yeah, this dude
arguably the best catcher in the league. I get that. But when you're talking about like best catchers in the league, I'm like, yeah, Jose Trevino ain't top 10, man. Come on.
Trevino is a backup catcher that the Yankees have forced into a tandem starting role, because they have Trevino and Higgy, and they don't know what to do with either one of them, because both of them are borderline starters. They are too valuable to be in just a backup role, but they are too bad to be a starter. And the Yankees, all right, well, we can offset this by having them each start 3 to 4 games a week.
I don't think they're, I would dispute maybe that they're both that valuable. Like, you know, the Platinum Glove is exceptional, but the Yankees don't have the offense at other positions to have both catchers on their roster be this.
No, they never have.
They don't have the roster to make up for the fact that both their catchers are really terrible at hitting. Like,
I agree. No, and this goes back to last year, how when they kind of overhauled the team after 2021, they focused way too much on defense and sacrificed all their offense for it, because they saw just how off and on the team was in 2021 and went, oh God, we got to fix this, because their defense was so bad. So then last year, they kind of made up for it, but then everyone burned out because the league caught up to them towards the end of the year. So the only people that were hitting was Judge. And, you know, Stanton was hitting a few bombs in the playoffs, but towards the end of the year, it was just Judge. And that's it. Because nobody else on this team was doing it.
Remember, Trevino actually was an all-star last year. He was actually pretty solid offensively in the first half. And then in the second half, it was just nothing, and he picked up right where he left off. And I'm not sure if he got hurt in spring training, but, you know, because, like I said, he was pretty bad offensively the second half of last year. There was definitely aggravated last year.
He reminded me of Vernon Wells in 2013, because he came out of the gate, and he was hitting home runs. He was making some good plays. We were watching him and being like, oh, my God, he's actually, like, pretty good. You know, he had like 2 or 3 walk-off hits last year, and he was so fun. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of hit a wall. And Vernon Wells, I remember, it was like the first 2 months of the year, he hit like 10, 11, 12 home runs and was hitting really well. And the rest of the year, he hit one home run. And that's kind of how Trevino was, because I remember he hit
Anthony Rizzo scene.
Yeah, exactly. True. But the difference is that, you know, we knew Rizzo would snap out of this eventually, because he's been around for a decade and he's, you know, an established solid player, where Trevino has been a backup catcher for the last 4 years that the Yankees went out and got and tried to turn into
at the very last minute of spring training last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were content with going into the year with Higgy and Rortvedt, and then Rortvedt got injured and they went, oh crap, we don't have another catcher on our 40, man.
Not for nothing, but this did start out as being a talking point about Aaron Boone and how he's going to lie to us about Aaron Judge. I want the catching to be better, but it's not going to be better this year, offensively anyway, unless they start giving Ben Rortvedt, you know, a chance and he's actually worth something. But I would really rather we talk about how much of a fucking idiot Aaron Boone is.
We're always down for that key, but yeah, I do agree that next year they got to give the keys to either Vorvet or Wells or hey whoever, just you know somebody, because really like
we're go find a catcher who's not all offense and no defense Gary Sanchez, and then all defense and no offense.
Yeah, right.
Correction, be like, can you find a catcher who can bat like 250 or 260 and just play solid defense? Like,
it seems like a lot to ask for, but no, like that's the thing. The whole Trevino thing, right? What boggled my mind about Boone was really he acted like Jose Trevino was like a perennial all-star and like just this top three catcher in the league. That even if he's hurt, he has to be out there. It's like, dude, he was actively hurting us. You know, he was a zero in the lineup. Like his defense wasn't like noticeably good this year. You know, it's.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wrist injury. So he can't like why potentially would he catch as well or throw. Like, and
it's just brutal.
I mean, for the record, his last 30 games, he hit like 210 and with absolutely no power whatsoever. So either way, like you were saying, it's a complete give up. He's not helping.
Yeah, but we could talk about Aaron Boone, and something else that was revealed the other day was, did you guys see how many different left fielders have started for the Yankees since the start of 2021?
Mm-hmm.
It was the number, I think 20. It was 20 or 21. 20. I think it was 20. And
the ones like who have, they said the ones who have started more than five games is 13.
I was going to say, how many of them aren't actually dedicated outfielders?
How many of those guys are NPCs? Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
But I mean, it all comes. I mean, that Mets series, man. I mean, those balls, those two hits Alonso had the other night. That I think one of them had a 5% hit probability, and the other was like 8%.
Yeah,
I believe.
Oh, yeah, the one.
A lot of those aren't
that pop up in the first inning.
A lot of those aren't like accurate, but at the end of the day, like that's like that one was in the air for 10 seconds.
It said McKinney had like a 90%. Catch probability,
and Bader had a 70,
and it fell between the two of them.
And they weren't even remotely close to it either. It's not like they both dived for it or collided or something. It just fell in between them. Like, I don't know what they were doing.
And like,
Bader might have been shifted, but
like to a point. You have to advocate for your players, and I respect that. And you have to support them and whatever.
Right.
But he does it in just such a profoundly stupid fucking way. Like, and I mean, we posted it in the chat the other day, like the Boone Bingo, where it's like, you know, just like these.
I love the Boone Bingo.
The Boone Bingo, like.
His stuff looks good.
Yeah, like
Herman gave up three home runs in a game against a team that can't hit. Yeah, I thought his stuff was pretty good, but he gave up some home runs.
Oh my
god. The one was like looks at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we got to fight, there's no quit, you know,
grind it out. Some guys.
I liked what I saw. Just got to keep
turning a corner.
Turning
a corner was the worst.
I thought he looked good. Good effort.
That was like an old one. That was like
that's an old one. That was like 20.
I remember we named an episode
"Turning a Corner." Yeah, that was like 2018, I think 2019, something like that. Where,
yeah, oh my god,
yeah, it was bad.
Got to turn the corner. Ugh.
There's a part. Yeah, I mean, so all that part of me that just thinks Boone is a total troll. Like he just knows how terrible of a manager he is. He just knows how like awful all his Boonisms are, and he's just rolling. He's like,
I mean, I'll say that, like, you know, I don't think he's not going to come out and say, hey, we like everyone, you guys know it, and I know it, that Josh Donaldson sucks and that he has like 11 hits on the year, and like six of them are home, whatever. Like, he's not going to do that, but I would be super interested in any of the conversations that go on behind the scenes, because everyone and their mother knows that the first person to get fired is going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, you got to give him some credit because he does defend his players. And that was you know, not defending them was kind of what kicked Girardi out the door.
Because yeah, they got him because he was a player's manager.
That's exactly.
But he's probably taking that too far. But
and yeah, that's my point. It's like it's good to be a player's manager so that you have a good rapport with your players. But he takes it too far where he just gets defensive about it. And he acts like you're a fucking idiot for acting like for not having the faith in Josh Donaldson. You know, he literally said you'd be crazy to not expect to bounce back. Look how that turned out.
So help me God, if I hear anything about Runway ever again.
Yeah. It like, is almost August. They've had all the runway they need.
Like, oh, Mike Tuchman hit a home run tonight. That's a blast from the past. Like, I think.
Whoa, wait. Are you saying Mike Tuchman is in one of the outfielders, the Yankees, that Cashman used as a reason not to sign Bryce Harper?
You know, if we're talking about left-handed Cubs outfielders that the Yankees make, I'm not going to
go. Wow. What a segue that was.
Not,
yeah, Aaron Boone.
Wait, you hear that breaking? So Cody Bellinger is going to be a Yankee, right? Gee, if we don't get Cody Bellinger, I think G is rescinding his Yankee fan card live on the show. That's how much G wants. He's been writing articles about him all week. G really wants Cody Bellinger. Isn't that right, G?
I have a article and I'll just repost it 5 days in a row. He has been, you know, really pretty darn good this year. He's got a little bit of positional versatility. And although he's not going to hit, like, whatever, however many home runs that he did in his MVP year, like, I think it's worth looking into, strong considering. But I think I would honestly try and have that more as, like, a future play than it is as, like, we're turning this Yankees team into a contender.
Right.
Because it's...
Yeah. I would much rather give him like a, I don't know, three.
He could be a piece.
I was gonna say three or four year contract after this year to be like a, you know, a long term outfielder instead of giving up prospects for him or giving up something and then just having him leave in free agency after this year. Like obviously, you can say bringing people in for their cup of coffee after the trade deadline helps, you know, them understand what it's like bringing them back, but obviously the Yankees are not very good at that because they didn't bring Benintendi back.
It kind of worked with Rizzo, but that wasn't just a half year.
No, yeah. I mean, Bellinger, well, he's got a $12 million mutual option, but like we were talking about this, I think sometimes
he's not going to accept that after this season. He's not going to accept $12 million. He's going to be wanting to make it 20 at least.
He's hitting, you know, again, he's not hitting a ton of home runs, but like you'd maybe think by like
the Yankees, the Yankees don't need home runs. They need contact. They need a hard contact and they need guys who get on base and they need guys who will work the count. It's like I think it's like since the beginning of June or something, they have like a 280 on base percentage, something like
that. Can I just dispute something, please? The Yankees home run leader has been out
Judge.
Since May.
Yeah, it's still Aaron Judge.
And he's still three clear of the next guy. Okay. The Yankees, this Yankees team later, does not. Isn't it? Yeah. And then the next guy after that is Stanton. This Yankees team does not hit home runs at all. So
they don't hit it.
They don't hit. Well, yeah.
My point is like they do. They can't. They've hit home runs better than they've done hitting anything else. It's like you're not going and getting Bellinger because he hasn't hit that many home runs this year is not a good enough reason to not.
He's hitting for a good average and he's getting on base. And I think, I mean that on it's like that alone. You can stick him out there in the outfield. You can play him at first base if you ever needed to. But like. I think it's worth it if you could guarantee it beyond this year. Otherwise, it's a rental, and I don't think the Yankees should be in the business of rental this year. Like, yeah,
absolutely right, G. If the Yankees were in a position like 4 or 5 games up in a playoff spot, then yeah, go out and get Bellinger. Oh my God, that could put you over the top. But just putting Bellinger on this team, I mean, he's having a really good year, 900 OPS.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially as much as I would,
as just really a fan of baseball, it's great to see him bounce back.
Yeah, as much as I'd really enjoy not having to watch IKF, one, in left field, and two, ever again, like, I don't really think, like, give the Yankees a left fielder. They still have no offensive catcher, and, you know, we'll see at first base, and God knows what, at, you know, like, all third base, you know, like, all around. There's too many positions where they're not getting any production from, and...
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so as it stands, they're 2.5 games behind and behind the last wild card spot. They have to get over the Red Sox. And the Red Sox have, like, the fifth best runs per game in baseball. The Yankees
Red have, Sox like, have been the best team in baseball the last month.
Yeah, the Red Sox have, like, a good offense, like, legitimately good offense, and, like, mediocre pitching. The Yankees have, I'd say, kind of...
I'd say above average pitching.
Sort of the inverse.
Way below average offense.
Really terrible offense and like pretty good pitching. And, you know, you might get Nestor back here in a little bit and hopefully he doesn't suck like he did earlier in the year. But like.
Yeah, getting Nestor and Loaisiga back is big. But there was one of the things that John Boy and Jake were interviewing Boone about was they were saying Judge is the only hitter that's coming back. And Boone was making the point of like, well, what about Nestor? What about Loaisiga? And they were like, that doesn't solve the problem. The problem is not the pitching staff. It's the offense. And while Judge can do a lot, you need more than one guy. If you're going to stick with your narrative that the offense being bad the last 2 months was not just because of Judge, you cannot rely on just Judge coming back.
You know, my follow-up question to that would be, for the decision makers on the Yankees, what the fuck reason does anyone have to pitch to Aaron Judge when he comes back?
Exactly.
Like, bat him first or fifth or ninth or wherever you want. And, like, I'm not pitching to Aaron Judge because Gleyber Torres had a good month. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm not. If I'm looking at the Yankees lineup, I'm like, okay, Gleyber leading off and then Judge. And then what, Rizzo and Stanton? Just don't throw Judge. Throw around Judge, and as long as you don't throw a pitch down the middle to Stanton, you're fine. Because Rizzo and Stanton done nothing the past 2 months.
Here's the funny thing, though. And this would be hilarious. What if Judge comes back, and everyone starts hitting again?
And then Judge isn't hitting because of his foot.
Right. I mean, even if Judge is like, you know, 180, like, you know, he's getting on base, home run here, there, he's pretty slow. But all of a sudden, everyone else starts hitting. Like, oh, Rizzo now has four home runs in his last. Oh, Stanton goes on it. Oh, that would be the most frustrating and funny. Because really, it's like we say it all the time. And it's like even some people who were the whole Ohtani versus Judge MVP debate were saying, like, over the last 2 months, they're like, damn, like, maybe Judge was the MVP last year because, my God, this Yankees team is awful without him.
Yeah,
it's the like, it's same not exact exaggeration. Roster.
Yeah, it's like and that's have the this one thing. Guy like, this into the lineup, and they could go from team. Awful lineup to great. It's crazy.
If you look at the 2021, like, if you look at their guys, the guys who got, say, the top 10 guys who got the most at-bats in 2022, and this team, it's got to be at least eight of the same guys. You know, it's not a big difference. So to expect different things a year later when people are a year older, they're slowing down. You got aging guys like Stanton, DJ, Rizzo, Donaldson. Obviously, it's going to look worse.
I'd say the major departures basically are that they didn't have Gallo and now they don't have Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. And they haven't really addressed
two legends
that because they have, since those guys have been gone, they've just had like a revolving door of crap in left field.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the guy who had the opportunity to grab the spot, Cabrera, Oswaldo Cabrera, hasn't done a fucking thing this year, so.
No, he hasn't. He's been very disappointing this year. But guys, let's wrap the show up with our predictions for what do we think over this 10-game stretch. What do we think the Yankees' record's going to be?
Can I make...
Alex, you start it off.
Yeah, can I make... I'm going to make some a few little hot takes. So I'm gonna lay this out, okay? The Yankees go to Baltimore tomorrow. They have a 3-game series. And then they play 2 games against the Rays. Then there's the trade deadline, okay? I think they're going to win 2 of 3 in Baltimore. And that right there is going to convince the front office, all right, we can compete with the best of them. Let's go all in on this season. They're going to go out. They're going to go.
I really hate you right now, Alex.
I know you do. I know. They're going to go out. They're going to spend a lot of – they're going to use a lot of their prospects. They're going to get decent amount of guys. Then they're going to go out and lose 2 or 3 to the Rays and 3 or 4 to the Astros. So I know I said I think they're going 3-7, but I'm going to rescind. I'm going to say they go 4-6. And it's even more embarrassing than it looks.
Oh, God. I was going to say 4-6. I don't know, man. In this if you count the first game of the White Sox series, you get Cole 3 times in those 11 games, and he's just so fucking good. We honested, like, we posted this again on the Twitter. We posted it, like, the picture of the Bugatti next to, like, the rundown shack of a house. Like, that's Garrett Cole on this team, and the Yankees just so absolutely do not deserve him. Like, but he's lived up to the contract,
especially after, you know, we were very skeptical about, you know, Cole and, you know, his, like, something, you know, he had a bad playoff performance a couple of years ago, and he's lived up to the hype, man. He's had a great year. It's going to be probably him and Nasty Nate for the Cy Young, right? The AL Cy Young.
Like I've said for this whole entire year, Cole's been worth every penny so far.
Yeah, he is.
And it's honestly infuriating to hear, this is a little tangent, infuriating to hear and read these pieces in, like, The Athletic about how much of, like, a savant is.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, even when he's not pitching, how incredibly locked into, like, the incredibly minute details of the game. And then we have to listen to Boone go out there watching Josh Donaldson bat 100 through, like, 200 plate appearances and be like, yeah, he's going to come around any day now. Like, that's something else. Garrett Cole is... he's just so good. But the fact that they have 3 times in 11 games for him, I would say that you have a good chance to win at least 2 of those. So we're already on fire. I'll stick to my original prediction. I'll say 4-6. Which, by their own definitions of, like, championship or bust, they should be horrified by, but they're not going to, because they don't actually believe that, and they just want us to. But I still don't think that even if they buy, that they won't actually, like, really buy. So they might go out and get a piece or two, but I don't think they should really. I don't think they'll really be like, oh, yeah, we're going all in. We're going to trade for X, Y, Z, et cetera. Unless, like, what the Padres did with Soto when they traded him, they traded a shit ton for him and they had an extra year of control. Unless there's something like that out there.
2 extra years of control.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Get Soto for this year and next year.
Yeah, so, like, there's no reason to. So I think, you know, the Yankees always make trades. Like, I think I'd be really disappointed if they did nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do in 2016 and just be like, well, we're getting rid of everything, clear the deck.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a middle path there where you can make some trades and there's players that maybe you can find that could be useful next year, et cetera. But, like, they're just – the roster sucks. And it's not – like, when you let your roster get to this level of shit, it's not going to get fixed in one trade deadline and one free agency. And that's just
exactly
where we're at.
Exactly. That's what, you know, people saying, let's add this guy. Let's add this team needs so many things that it – you know – a this trade team, deadline is team, like quick fix here and this, there, you know?
You look at this team's 40-man roster, you can probably name 15 guys that need to go in order for this team to get back to a point where you can feel good about them. And that's really not how you – that's not a championship roster right there.
I'm really mad that like this Houston series is taking place after the deadline.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really, really mad about that because I think, like, I was reading and it's like, oh, the Yankees went out there and got, you know, played very embarrassingly bad baseball against the Angels. And the Angels went out there against Houston the weekend before and gave up like 30 runs in three games. Like, Houston
should... the reason the Angels kept Otani for the time being.
Yeah, honestly. And the Yankees play four games against the Astros and they don't have to face Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
Houston.
That's Cole starts the first game of the Baltimore series and the last game of the Tampa series. So yeah, Houston will avoid Cole. And by the way, I you guys both said 4-6. I'm gonna go 3-7, man. I think they lose all three series. You know, I think they lose Baltimore, 2-3 to Tampa.
Houston is gonna take the Yankees to the woodshed, man. I think
it's just
like the team that we can't stop comparing ourselves to, even we could have lied our way into being like, oh, well, if one thing or another broke our way last year, then maybe we would have won a game or two. Who knows if you win game, if Aaron Boone didn't punt, you know, all that kind of stuff. All that, like, coping, basically. And I think we're going to find out in very short order here that that's all stupid. And I think Houston's going to just... very comfortably win these games.
Yeah.
And I'm really mad that it's happening after the trade deadline.
Yeah, the Yankees have proved me wrong many times before, right? Like, they'll, you know, anytime, like, you think they're out, they come back and they'll play well. But, yeah, it's tough to see, you know, how they've been playing, right? Even in the Royals series, man, obviously they sweep that series. They won all three of those games by three runs or less. And obviously a win's a win, but... yeah, man, they're just, you know, obviously that Tuesday game against the Mets was terrible, right? And they win last night 3-1, but there's just not convincing wins. You know, now you're going up against three teams who, obviously Tampa's been struggling. That does need to be said. But, you know, like I said, Baltimore's red hot. Tampa, despite them struggling, you know, they'll probably just figure it out against us, right? We'll be their ticket back to, you know, the AL East crown. And then, obviously, Houston's had our number for years. So it's like it's really tough for me to look at that 10-game stretch and say, oh, yeah, we're going to win at least four or five games. No, I think we're going to win three. I think it's more likely we win two games in that stretch than four games or five games, to be honest. Like, that's just how I feel about this team right now. And maybe Judge comes back and it revitalizes the team. But you know what the most likely outcome is Judge coming back and going one for his first 16 with 13 strikeouts because his plant foot is so slow and he hasn't seen live pitching in months.
I was going to say, they're not giving him a rehab assignment or anything.
Yeah, he didn't have any.
Oh,
he
has his rehab assignment against Johnny Lewis.
Yeah, that was his rehab assignment. It's like he hasn't been in an actual baseball game in almost 2 months. So it's,
since that game against the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
So
he's going to come back, and people are going to expect him to be, you know, MVP Aaron Judge, and you just can't expect that, right? It's probably going to be a process. And then if he's not that, it's going to be a big problem. So for Luigi, for Alex, for G, this was the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.